Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Beitza, Daf Chav Ches. We begin at the very top with a brand new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Rehu the Omer, Shokel Odom Basar Keneged HaKli O Keneged HaKupitz. You're not allowed to go and do normal business transactions on Shabbos or Yontif because of the concern that you may come to write, you may come to do other melachos, and therefore the rabbis instituted a number of gzeros that you shouldn't do things in the normal way, and this way you would protect the sanctity of Yontif. So Rav Yehuda is telling us over here that a person can't go weigh out meat with a balance scale. They used to weigh meat on a balance scale. Then one side of the balance scale, they would put the piece of meat, and the other side, they would have known weight. So they would put down a litra, a certain type of weight on one side of the scale, and then they would weigh out a litra's worth of meat on the other side of the scale. So you're not allowed to do this in the normal way. Rashi tells us, Tabach hamocher basar b'mishkal, if you're selling meat with a balance scale, Afopish also lishko b'litra, even though you wouldn't be allowed to go and balance it with a weight such as a litra, because dahinu ma'isichol, this would be a weekday activity, and it's not proper to do this on Yontif. Mutter hu lishko kineged hakli u'kineged hakupitz. A kupitz is a sack and gadol. Rashi says sakotz and bo'abasa that you go and chop up the meat with, because the ikushino, this is a change, v'lo yei ma'isichol, and it's not a normal weekday business transaction type of activity. So what you can do is, instead of putting a known weight like a litra on the other side of the balance scale, you can put your big chopping knife, your kupitz, or you could put another kli on the other side. Now you know the weight of that other kli. You would know that, for example, this chopping kli weighs 5 pounds, and when you go put meat against it, you're weighing it against it in an abnormal way, not the normal way, with a shinui. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanakhama, says that that's permissible. Chacham disagree. Chacham omrim, no. Ein mashgichin b'kaf mosnaim kol ikur. You're not allowed to use a kaf mosnaim. You can't use this balance scale at all. Kol ikur. When it says, what do you mean, my kol ikur? What does it mean you can't use it at all? So I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. I'm a Shmuel. The Amora, Rabbi Yehuda, says the name of Shmuel. These balance scales were hung, let's say, from the ceiling, and they would be hanging down, and there would be a great way to preserve your meat from the mice getting to it by putting your meat up on top of the balance scale, because the mice couldn't get to it. It's in the middle of the air. So therefore, you might have thought that, okay, I'm not using it to weigh, but I'm using it to store my meat, or to preserve a piece of meat from being eaten by the mice. So that might be allowed. So therefore, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel tells us that when the Chachamim say in the Mishnah, you can't use a kaf mosnaim, you can't use this balance scale at all, kol ikra, this is exactly what it means. Even when you're not doing it for balancing, and you're not doing it to weigh something, nevertheless, this is what it means, that you're not allowed to do this at all, kol ikra. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. He adds further that this qualifies v'hu de talia b'terita. That's if it's hanging from the ceiling on this rope. So this terita is b'tabas shetolinos, on this ring that you hang it down from, and that looks too much like kishoklin, that it looks too much like you're weighing it. The mechzik havanaso l'shem mishkal. It looks like you're weighing it in this situation, and therefore, even though you're doing it to be shomer from the achbarim, you're not allowed to go and do this. But if it wouldn't be in a way that would normally be balance scale usage, in other words, let's say it was on a counter in some way and it's not hanging down and the balance scale is not working, so to say, because it's lying on something, so it wouldn't function as a balance scale, so then it doesn't even look to the passerby, to the onlooker, that you're using it as a balance scale, and that would be allowed. The Amar of Yehuda Mishmuel, another statement of Yehuda Mishmuel said, Tabach Uman, an expert butcher, also Lishko Boso Biyat. He's not allowed to go weigh things in his hand because he's so expert, so this is 5 pounds worth of meat, so he's not allowed to do that either. As Rashi points out, Shiodei Lechavi Mishko, Kinekin Mishko Biyato. So he would put, let's say, in one hand, the piece of meat, and he has a litra in the other hand, and he can say that they're roughly the same. So you wouldn't be allowed to do that either. That, even though he's not a balanced scale, but he's functioning like a balanced scale, and that looks too much like a ma'isa chol. That's what he does all the time. That's why it says a ma'isa uman, a tabach uman, is not allowed to do this. Also lishko b'otzo b'yad. Furthermore, he says tabach uman, another thing that the tabach uman can't do, is also lishko b'otzo b'mayim. Through the principle of Archimedes' principle, that you displace a mass in water. So they would have like a graduated cylinder. They would have markings on this container, and they would put water in there, and then they would put a piece of meat in, and they know that it rises to a certain level. That's the equivalent of a liter of meat. So therefore, you're not allowed to use this type of a system as well on Yontif. It's too much of ma'isichol. Now, this is only a tabach uman, because only he's really able to do this. A regular person could do something like this. By the way, the Mishnah Berurah does bring down that in his house, for his own personal usage, the butcher is allowed to go and weigh things in his hands, so to say. It's only when he does it in public that you're not allowed to go and do that. Lishko boso biyat. Gemara continues and says, Rav Chiya Barashi tells us, also lasos base yad bebosar. They used to go, Rashi explains, and make a hole with a knife in the meat so it would be easily carried. It's almost like making a handle on the meat. So you're not allowed to do this with a knife. Because again, this is too much the way it's done during the weekdays. So also lasos base yad bebosar. However, Amar Ravina will be yad shari, but to poke your finger through it, as Rashi says, limkov b'yad zubo, shari, that's loud because delab derecholu. That's not the way to do it on a weekday. However, avo basakin, to make take a knife and do a hole in it, make a hole in it to carry derechol, the way you do it on a weekday, that when a person would sell basar, that's the way they would do it, so they'd be able to carry it to the house, so that you're not allowed to do because you have to do a shinoi. Tzorich l'shanos, lasos heker, she'en mekach u'memkar mutubo. Again, to make some sort of shinoi, it shouldn't look like ma'isichol, it shouldn't look like you're going and doing business transactions on Yantif. Gemara continues, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, Mutalaso simin bebasar, the butcher is allowed to go and cut the meat into a certain shape, a well-known form, we'll say like a triangle, that you're allowed to do with the basar. Shelo yachlifenu hanoso. If you're concerned that the person delivering it to your house may switch it with non-kosher meat, so they would set up some sort of a simin in the meat itself. This is the equivalent to, we have the plumba, that you have the little piece in the chicken or in the meat that says that this is kosher meat. So they would have a simon in the basar. Kiha, the Rabba Bar Rav Huna, the Gemara tells us elsewhere that Rabba Bar Rav Huna, he would have them cut mechatich lo atlos karnosa. He would make a triangle in the meat. So the meat was shaped in a triangle, and his family knew that if it didn't come in the form of a triangle, then it wasn't the kosher meat that the Rabba Bar Rav Huna had sent. Now Gemara tells us a story. Rav Chiya, Rav Shimon Berebi, these two great Talmidei Chachamim, Rav Chiya was a Talmud, the Talmud Muvok of Rebbe, and Rabbi Shimon was the son of Rebbe. So these two great Talmidei Chachamim, when they were together eating, Shoklin Mona Kenegin Mona, Biyontif, they would weigh out the pieces of meat on a balance scale, so each of them got the exact same amount of meat. So they would put the two pieces of meat on the balance scale and add a little bit more, take off a little more from one side. So Gemara says, how could they do this? Come on. Doesn't go like either of the two opinions in our Mishnah. Come on, Loki Rebbe Yehuda, not like the opinion of the Tanakhama, who was more Mekel, and certainly not like the Rabbanim that were more Machmir. Loki Rebbe Yehuda, Loki Rabbanim. Ikar Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda had said, Hamar Shoka Lodim Boso Kineger Akli. He allowed you to use the balance scale if you put a Kli on one side, Kineger Kupitz, or this chopping knife on one side. So that could serve as the balance to the meat. Kineger Akli, in. However, Kineger Midi Achrina, low. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say that you can put it against another piece of meat. He said against the kli, because that's a shinoi. But meat against meat, he said that's not a shinoi. That's not allowed. And certainly, Iker Rabbanan, they don't let you use the balance scale at all. So how could Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon, the son of Rebbe, how could they go and do this? So the Gemara says, because there's a third opinion, not mentioned in our Mishnah, Inu de Ovud, Rabbi Yeshua. They held like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. What was that? The Tanya, we learned in a bright sir, Rabbi Yeshua Meir, Shoklin Mona Keneged Mona Biyantiv. He specifically does allow you to go and put two pieces of meat on the balance scale and make sure that each person is getting an equivalent portion. How do we paskin? On Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, Halach, Rabbi Yeshua. We paskin like this third opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, the most makel opinion. Why? Hoel Utznan Bechoros Kavase, because there's a Stam Mishnah in Bechoros that seems to be in accord with this opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. What is that? It's not. We learned the Mishnah in Bechoros. Psule HaMukdoshim, an animal that was designated to be Kodesh, and then it gets a mum. So what do you do with it? The Beis Din would go and sell this, and with the proceeds that they would get, they would buy Olos for Ketz HaMizbeach, and the animal that had originally been a carbon and now has a mum is purchased by the person. It's purchased in the regular way because the Hekdish gets all the money, so we allow them to purchase it and sell it in the regular way. But you're not allowed to use such an animal while it's alive for anything. You have to sell it only for meat, and then the person who buys it goes and eats it. He's not allowed to shear the animal. He's not allowed to go and milk the animal. He's not allowed to go do work with the animal, etc. Because it's a bizoyon. This once was Hekdish, and now it's being used as a plowing animal. So Psula and Mukdashin had an awesome Hekdish, since all the benefit of this money goes to Hekdish, so therefore you're allowed to go and sell it in the regular way. However, a Bechor or Maisa Behemah, they belong to the Balaam, and there's no redemption. The Pasuk says, Lo Yipad, Lo Yigal, So therefore, they're not allowed to be redeemed. When they get a mum, you just eat them. But you're not allowed to work them, you're not allowed to do anything with them. Now, if the person who owns it wishes to sell it, he's not allowed to sell it in the normal way, because here all the profit goes to him, so this is a bizarre for Hektish. However, the Mishnah in Bechorah says, Vishoklin mona kineged mona bibachor. But the rabbis did allow you to go and weigh it out on a balance scale, so you say, okay, this piece of meat is equal to that piece of meat. So we see from this Stam Mishnah in Bechoros that you can go and weigh for the Bechor, mona kineged mona. So Mistama, Rav Yosef wants to say that that is the Shita that is exactly Rav Yeshua's Shita. This is in Yontif you can weigh out. So just like you can do it by the Bechor, you can do it by Yontif. That's what Rav Yosef wants to say. Only Abaye Abaye says, who says that those two are comparable cases? Bechor is different than Yontif. Dilma Lohi, maybe this comparison that Rav Yosef made is incorrect. Dilma Lohi, I'd kind of low come on Rav Yeshua Hocha. The only reason Rav Yeshua says, in our case, you'll have to weigh out meat, one piece of meat on one side of the Mishkal, the other piece of meat on the other side of the Mishkal on Yontif, Ela Deleka Bizarin Kachin, because there's no Bizarin Kachin involved. This is regular meat. This isn't Kachin meat. This is not Psulia Mukdashin. However, Avo Hossam, maybe in the situation of the Bechor, Dika Bizarin Kachin, it's somewhat of a Bizarin to the Kachin to be used it in this fashion to have a piece of meat weighed against a piece of meat. Lo, maybe Rav Yeshua would say over there in Bechoros, he would disagree with that Stam Mishnah. Likewise, Inami, who says that Stam Mishnah agrees with Rav Yeshua. Inami, Ad Kan Lo Karmi Rabbanon Hossam. The only reason why the Stam Mishnah in Bechor says that Yishlokel Monim Kineged Monim by Bechor is because over there, Lo Karmi Hossam, the Rabbanon only said over there, Lo Karmi Rabbanon Hossam, Ela Mishum Delo Mechsek Uvdin Dechol. Because what's wrong with it? They're doing it on a regular Tuesday. So there's no problem with doing something that's Uvdin Dechol. However, in our case, the Mechsek Uvdin Dechol, if you allow it to be weighed out this way, that's too much the way they do it on a weekday. And therefore, maybe the Tana of the Mishnah and Bechoros would say over here, lo, that you wouldn't be allowed to go and do this. So therefore, there's no Raya from the Mishnah and Bechoros, as Rav Yosef wanted to suggest. Now, the Gemara has a separate question. We said that Rav Chia and Rav Shimon, the son of Rabbi, needed to make sure that they each got exactly the same amount of meat on Yontif. So that implies, Lameimra, the Kapte Adadi, that they were concerned, hey, how come he's getting more than me? But that doesn't make any sense, because we see in another situation that they weren't concerned at all. For Hano Sheb Benisa, there once was a situation where there were seven fish that belonged to Rebbe, and also Lebe Rebbe, they came into Rebbe's house, and he divided them up between his Talmud Muvok, Rebbe Chia, and his son. Vishtakach, and it turned out that Chomesh Minayu Be Rebbe Chia, five of the fish ended up by the house of Rebbe Chia, and below carpet Rebbe Shimon Rebbe, and Rebbe Shimon Rebbe didn't even say anything. He didn't care, it didn't bother him. You know, it was his own father's house, his own father's fish. And he only got two, and Ruchi got five. He didn't care. So how can you tell me over here that they were so mocked, but oh, we have to weigh it out, that maybe you got a little bit more than I did? Some are a puppy, 100% right. There was no way that Ruchiya and Rav Shimon Rebbe would have had such a usage of the mana kineged mana with the meat, because they would not have been mocked. But okay, so you have more than me. Who cares? Amar Papa, Shadi Garibina, you have to switch one of the people. If you're saying E Rav Chia, that one of the players in this discussion was Ruchiya, so then the person who was splitting the meat with was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, in that situation, they each paid the butcher, so they each were entitled to get a fair share. So they each entitled to get half. So therefore, they did it mona kineged mona. And if you tell me that, no, it was Rabbi Shimon Barabi who was the other player, Ig Rabbi Shimon Barabi, so then his bar plukta over here in this situation was ubar kapara. So he, Rabbi Shimon Barabi, and bar kapara, they were the ones that did this mona kineged mona on Yontif. Now we go to the next mission, continuing the discussion, what you're allowed to do on Yontif. So the mission tells us, Ein mashchizin. Mashchizin means to sharpen. Ein mashchizin es asakim b'yontif. You're not allowed to go sharpen a knife on Yontif. It looks too much like you're doing weekday work again, that you're doing business over here, that you have to sharpen your knife. However, avo masia agabi chaverta, but you can carry one on top of the other. What does that mean? It means you can rub two knives together to sharpen them. That's allowed. You can't use the normal sharpening equipment, but to just rub one knife against another knife to make them sharp, that is allowed. Mara starts off and says, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna explains the Mishnah and qualifies it as follows. Lo shanu, that which we said, you're not allowed to be mashchizin, a sakin, ela b'mashchazas shel evin. That's with a stone, real proper, what's called a whetstone, to go and actually sharpen the stone. That's specialized tool made out of stone, they would go use to sharpen knives. So that's what Huna says in our Mishnah, Lo shanu ela b'mashchezes shel evin. But avo b'mashchezes shel eitz, if you have a wooden type of sharpening implement, that's allowed. It doesn't do such a good job. It's not the professional way to do it. It doesn't look so much like Uvdin Dechol. That's how Rav Huna qualifies in Mishnah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna Yehuda is first going to qualify Rav Huna, and then he's going to stay on his own. So we have four different opinions as to how to learn the Mishnah in total. So the first one is Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel. Yehuda says the name of Shmuel. Ha, the Amr is that which we just said that Rav Huna said, be'et shel evin osur, that he said that you're not allowed to use the stone, wet stone, to go and sharpen the knives. That which he said, that's osur, lo amor in el l'chadadah, that's only to sharpen it. Avol, to use such a stone, avol lahavir, Sham Nunise, but to go and remove the schmaltz from the knife, then you are mutter, you're allowed to go and use this stone sharpening device, because you're not using it to sharpen, you're using it to just remove the grease, the schmaltz, and that you're allowed to do. So that's the first qualification. And that implies, miklal, divshalaitz, that with a wooden type of a sharpening implement, afilu lechadda nami mutter, you're allowed to go and sharpen it. Okay, that's the first version. Second version that we have, Ika Damasni Law, Asefa, that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel made his statement explaining Rav Huna on the Seifa of the Mishnah, where it said, Bishaleitz Mutter. The Seifa said that with a sharpening tool that's made of wood, you're allowed to do this. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he qualifies this and says, Ha de Amis Bishaleitz Mutter, that which we said that you can use a wooden sharpening tool, it was only Elo Amarin El Lahavir Sham Nunise. That was only to remove the schmaltz. Aval lechadda, even the wooden tool is not allowed, osur. And that implies, mechal de b'shel evin, using the whetstone, afilu l'havir sham nunise, osur. You're not even allowed to use it in any way, even to go and remove the schmaltz. So the first opinion was the most makel opinion, and this opinion is the most machmer opinion. Now, that was Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel explaining Rav Huna. Ika de Masi Law, others had it, that he said it himself directly on the Mishnah. Ika de Masi Law, Amas Nisan, that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel spoke directly on the Mishnah themselves and not explaining Rav Huna. When the Mishnah said, Ein mashlizin esasachin biyontif, now let it go and sharpen a knife on yontif, so it doesn't say what type of stone it's talking about, it doesn't say what type of implement it's talking about, stone or wood. And Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, loshanu elechadda, whatever implement you're using, you're now let it go and sharpen a knife, period. However, avol lahavir sham nunise, but to remove the shmaltz mutter with any type of a tool, mechlal de agav chaverta, going rubby two knives together, that you can do even to sharpen. So you can use a stone or a wooden implement only to remove the schmaltz, but not to sharpen it all, but to rub one knife against another knife, that you can do even to sharpen it. And finally, the fourth and final version of how to understand the Mishnah of Ikum Vasilah Seifa, that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel is going on the Seifa, where it says, Avo Masiya al Gabi Chaverta, when the Mishnah said that you can rub the two knives together, that is permissible. So they qualify this. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu El Lahavir Shem Nunise, that the only time you're allowed to rub the two knives together, this is the most machmir position, is just to remove the schmaltz. Avo Lechadida, Usser, even to use the two knives to rub them together to sharpen each other, that is not allowed to be done. It's only to remove the schmaltz. And the implication of that is, Michlal, the Mashrezis, with an official sharpening implement, whether it's a stone, a whetstone, or whether it's just a wooden type of an implement that sharpens knives, afilu l'havir sham nunise, even to remove the schmaltz, is usser. So these are the four different opinions that we have understanding our Mishnah. Now, who the Gemara says, Man Tana de Mashchezes also. Who's the opinion that says that you're not allowed to use the Mashchezes at all? So Amar Rav Chista, the Lo Kerev Yehuda. It obviously can't be like the opinion of Yehuda. Why is that? Now we have the gears over here, the Tanya. It says in Agos Habach, it should be the Tnan, but in a later down the line, you see at the bottom in the asterisk with the parentheses, so it says, Hach reviewed the less of the Mishnah. It's not really a Mishnah, but Lachain Shaper Gasin and Tanya, because it's very similar to the Mishnah that we'll have on Daf Lamed Vav, but it's not exactly the Mishnah, so therefore this is really a Brisa. In any event, we'll use the gears of the Tanya, because that's what we have. It says in this Brisa, Ein ben yantif l'shabbos el ochel nefesh ufad. This is one of the most famous Mishnais in all of Shas, that there is no difference between Shabbos and yantif in terms of what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, with the exception being ochel nefesh. On Shabbos you can't do ochel nefesh, and on yantif you can do ochel nefesh. And of course we'll have a huge discussion about exactly what does this mean. Now, in our Mishnah, it says that you're not allowed to use the mashchezes. Now, Rabbi Yehuda holds, as the Brisa now continues, Rabbi Yehuda matir af machshiri ochel nefesh. It says not only ochel nefesh, but even all the accoutrements that you need to help you prepare for ochel nefesh, such as sharpening a knife, are allowed. So therefore, the Tana of our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, says ein mashlizin in a sasakin, and Rabbi Yehuda does allow you to go do machshiri ochel nefesh. So obviously, the author of our Mishnah cannot be Rabbi Yehuda. That's what the Gemara says. Amar Rav Chista, the local Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rava Rav Chista. Rava says to Rav Chista, Did you really say this? Darshina Mishimcha. They said over in your name, Halachic Rabbi Yehuda, that you're paskin over here like Rabbi Yehuda. Is that correct? That you would be allowed to? Not like our Mishnah, which says you're not allowed to go sharpen the knife, but you pass it like Rehuda, that says you would be allowed to sharpen the knife. Makshir Rocho Nefesh are good. So I'm relayed. So he told him, yeah, it should always be, hey, Rava, it should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. The whole Kihani Mili, Ma'ayasa, Tidrishun Mishmoy. He says, all these good verklach, all these things that are correct, they should be said over my name. Yeah, 100% correct. Tomorrow continues and says, Amar Rav Nechemya, Breder of Yosef, Breder of Nechemya, the son of Yosef said, Hava ka imna kamedi Rava, I was once in front of Rava, Vahava ka ma'aver, we go to Chof Chesem Abeis, Vahava ka ma'aver, l'sakina apuma de dikula, and he was rubbing his knife on the top part, the rim of a basket of a sal. Rashi says, Mishavshev, he was rubbing sakin apiasal on the lip of the basket. And when he saw him do this, Rav Nechemya, Brei de Rav Yosef, asked Rava, what are you doing here? V'yamri lei, l'chadda kovid mar, are you doing this to go and sharpen the knife? Oh, l'havir shamnu nise, or are you just doing it to remove the shmalz from this knife? Now, v'amali, Rav Nechemya said that Rava answered him that he was just going l'havir shamnu nise, that he was just removing the shmalz. However, Rav Nechemya saw that that wasn't the case. And I saw, however, that his intention was to actually go and sharpen the knife. So why didn't he tell me that? He must have held that while that is the halacha that you're allowed to do this, you're not allowed to teach this halacha. And therefore, that's why he didn't tell me that he was using it to actually sharpen the knife, but he said, I'm only doing it to remove the shmaltz from the knife. As Rashi points out, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed to do machshire ocho nefesh, or muta kolish lasos. Every person can do this. However, avol ein morin l'rabimke. You're not allowed to publicly say this. Shalei yizazul, because people, if they see you doing this, they're going to start doing all sorts of other things. Af bishe efshar lasoso mibojom. And here's an important rule, the Rashi Lusa, which I'll have later on in the Gemara, that even though Rabbi Yehuda says machshire ocho nefesh are allowed to be done on yontif, that's only if e efshar lasoso mibojom. If you weren't able to do them for whatever the reason on erev yontif, so then you're allowed to do them on Yontif. Rashi gives us a little bit of the qualifications that we'll learn later on about this. We'll wait till we learn it later on. Similarly, Maisa Gemara continues with another Maisa Shoyev. Amar Abaye Havakimna Kamei Demar. I was once in front of my Rebbe, Mar. Now, his Rebbe usually is Rabba. But there is another gears here that says that this was Havakimna Kamei de Rav Yosef, his other Rebbe. In any event, Abaye was in front of his Rebbe, and he asked his Rebbe, Vavakoma Aver Sakina Asafosa Derechai, and he saw that his Rebbe was rubbing a knife on the lip of the millstone. So Abaye asked his Rebbe, what's the purpose of what you're doing, Rebbe? Vamrilei, he asked him, L'chadda Koboy Mar, is the Rebbe going to sharpen the knife? Or L'habir Shamnu Nise, or are you going to remove the shmaltz on the knife? And again, same answer that we got a moment ago, Vamrilei, Abaye said that the Rebbe said to him, Lahavir Shamnunise, that I'm only using it to go and remove the shmaltz. However, Abaye saw the chazite, the daite, and I saw that he was really going to go and sharpen it. And again, it must be because Kosovar halacha of Ein Morin came, because this is the halacha of Isa, but you're not supposed to teach this publicly because it lead to a zilzul. Now the Gemara says, Yibar Lulei Asim Beis Medrash, Ma'u Laharu Sakin L'Chochom B'Yomtiv, are you allowed to show your shechting knife to the Chochom on Yomtiv? They had a minhag that you needed to ask Rishus, so to say, for the local Rav, from the local Talmud Chochom, before you went to Shecht. So they would present their knife to him to make sure that they knew how to properly shecht. They would show him that the knife was properly sharpened and that there were no pigomim in it, there were no blemishes in it, and therefore this was the custom that they would show the knife to the Chochom before they would shecht. So are you allowed to do this on Yontif? That's the question that they ask in the Beis Medrash. Does this look too much like a weekday activity and therefore no? Or no, this is allowed. So Rav Mari Brei de Rav Bizno Shari. Rav Mari, who was the son of Rav Bizno, said, yes, it's permissible to do so. What the concern? What problem could come from this? The Rabbana said, no, Asri. They said, you're not allowed to go do something like this. So all the Mepharshim asked, what is the concern over here? So in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down that maybe you will not have it sharp enough, and then you come to sharpen it. And the Pnei Yeshua brings this in the name of the Rambam. The Pnei Yeshua also brings the Rashba, who says that if it is a requirement to do so, so what before you can shaft, so what happens if the Talmud Chacham is not around? You may come to carry it outside the Tchum to go bring it to the Talmud Chacham. So that's the reason why we're concerned the Rabban and Asri. Okay. Gemara says, Rav Yosef Amar, what can you do in this situation when you're not allowed to show it? So the Talmud Chacham Roe Eliatzmo. Talmud Chacham doesn't have to show it to anybody. The Rav of the town doesn't have to show it to anybody. So the Rav of the town can go and say that these knives are good, and then Umashilu Lachayim, and then can lend them to other people. So this way the other people didn't come to ask him, even according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, said it's Osir, but the Talmud Chacham himself can go and look at these knives and say these are good Shechting knives, and then distribute them, lend them to other people. Furthermore, the Amar of Yosef, he said another din, Sakin Sha'omda, if you had a knife, Sha'omda, right? She says Sha'omda means it stopped being sharp. Sha'omda mecharifus shalot. It no longer was as sharp as it was. Sheino chotechus yof. It doesn't cut fine. Avo lo nifkuma, but it's not broken. It's not blemished in any way. So, in this situation, Rav Yosef says, mutu lechadado b'yontif. You would be allowed to sharpen it further on yontif. Under what circumstances? Vahani mili. This is only, and the Bach deletes the word who? The poska. Agav dochaka, that it still can cut a little bit by pressing. But if you can't cut it all, so then you wouldn't be allowed to sharpen it. So since it still works, so you're just making it work a little bit better, so that would be allowed. Dash Rav Chisda, Vitema Rav Yosef, either Rav Chisda or Rav Yosef, dash the following. Echod sakin shenifkmo, whether you have a knife that is broken. Echod shput shenirtsum. Rashi explains that the word nirtsum means shenishbar rosho, the pointy part of the spit is broken. Or the echad grifas tanur v'kirayim. If you have part of the inside, Rashi says, of this oven, shenofal esocho min hatiach shlo, some of the cement inside fell off, v'lo yodeya nibojom, and you didn't know any of these things before yontif started. You didn't know your knife was broken. You didn't know the spit was broken. You didn't know that the tanur needed to be cleaned out from this little bit of cement that fell inside of it. And it's unusual right now. So b'yontif, if this now was found out on yontif, banu l'machlokas v'yudu rabbanan. This is exactly the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim about machshiri ochel nefesh. All of these things are an ochel nefesh. You're not eating the knife or the spit or the tanur, but you're using them to prepare food. And this machlokas is the Tanya. Like we said, we learned this in a number of places. Ein ben yontif l'shabbos ela ochel nefesh bovad. Tanakama says the difference between Shabbos and yontif is yontif you can prepare ochel nefesh, on Shabbos of course you can't. And Yehuda's matir af machshiri ochel nefesh. He lets you go and even do the preparations for ochel nefesh. My time at the Tanakama, what's the source, what's the psukim that the Tanakama uses to say that it's only ochel nefesh and not machshiri ochel nefesh? He says, the pasuk says, hu levado yeselachem. This means, who? Only the ochel nefesh velo machshirov, and not the machshirov. So therefore, the word who implies, as the Tanakama says, only the ochel nefesh and not the machshirov. In a moment, well, that's what Rav Yehuda does with this pasuk. What is Rav Yehuda's source that says even the machshir ochel nefesh? Rav Yehuda Amar Kra, he says the pasuk says lochem. You're allowed to do lochem, lochem lechol tzorchechem. In other words, you can use it for any of your needs. Hu levado yaseh lochem means that you can use it even for machshir ochel nefesh. So obviously, each one has to explain what they do with the other one's raya, with the other one's pasuk. The Tanakama has to explain lochem, and Rav Yehuda has to explain who. So we start with the Tanakama. But Tanakama, Hawk said Lochem, what does he do with the pasuk? We say Lochem. So Amalach, this is a drush we had previously. How Lochem v'lo l'nochrim. This teaches us that you are allowed to cook for yourself on Yontif, but you're not allowed to cook for Nochrim. You're not allowed to cook for Klavim. Okay, so that's what the Tanakama does with both psukim. The word Hu Levado teaches you for yourself, and you might have thought that includes even a Nochri. So that's what we have. Lochem teaches us Lochem. Okay, Tanakama is all squared away. New Rav Yehuda, Vidach, Nami Yoksiv, who? What does Yehuda do with the word who? We understand he says Lochem means Lochol Tzorchechem. What does he do with the word who? So Rav Yehuda says, Amaloch, Ksiv, who? The word who? And Ksiv Lochem. And Lochem teach us two things. Below Kasha, they teach us that Lochem means Lochol Tzorchechem. However, it's qualified by who. So it comes to resolve the stira or the usage of both words to teach us that you're allowed to do but Khan, when it has the word who, you're not allowed to do that. And when it says lochem, that's Khan, that you're allowed to do even on yontif. So that's how Rav Yehuda reconciles the two psukim. Rav Yehuda Mishmuel says, Shpud Shinirtsaf. Now, Nirtsaf is different than Nirtsam that we had before. Rashi explains, Shpud Shinirtsaf is Nimach. It's bent a little bit. It's not straight. Shadarsul of it was stepped upon. The Nekam, and it's bent. Avalonishbar, but nothing is broken off. So Yehuda Meshmul says that this shbud that's bent also misakno b'yantif. You're not allowed to go and fix it on yantif. Someone says pshita, of course you're not allowed to do it. That would be misakin mona, and you can't do that. So the Gemara says lo tzricha. The chiddush over here is the afal gav the mafshit b'yodei. Even though you're going to just bend it back with your hands and not use any specialized kli, nevertheless you're still not allowed to do that. Yom Rav Yehuda Meshmul. Another statement Rav Yehuda Meshmul says is shbud shetzalu bo basar. You use the spit to go and roast the meat, and now you're done with the meat. What do you do with the spit? Also, the tatl b'yontiv. You're not allowed to move it about on yontiv because it's no longer necessary. As Rashi says, miyad la'achar she'nitzlo hatzli. After you use the spit to go and roast the meat, you're not allowed to go and move it. Lefi she'nimos. It's disgusting. U'mukza. And therefore, it's mukza. U'kvar nase tzorch yontiv. You no longer need it for tzorch yontiv. So you have to drop it right there. Now, the gersa that we have is Rav Ada ba'ava Amar of Malkio. But both the Bach and the Gros say it's the other way around. It should be Amar of Malkio. And he said, Rav Ada bar Ava says. So we just switch around the order. And the din that they said was Shomto. Rashi says you're allowed to slide it away. Shomto milafonov maher bigrira. You can kick it, slide it away, push it away, the tiltu minatzad, and you're like pushing it away with your foot, that you're allowed to go and do, tiltu minatzad, that you're allowed to do on this muktzah spit, achi aviru milafon of lekeren zovis. As the Gemara says, you go shomto, you push it away with your foot or in an abnormal way, umenicha lekeren zovis. You put it into the corner. Once it gets to the corner, it's out of the way and doesn't bother you, and this is not considered tiltu gomor because you're doing it tiltu minatzad. So that's what this Rav Malkiel said in the name of Rav Ada Bar Ava, according to the Gersa of the Bach and the Gra. Shomto umeinicho bekeren zobis. Amr Chibarashi, Amr Rav Huna, v'hu shiyesh alav kizayis basar. You're only allowed to do this if it still has a kizayis basar on it. He holds that this is such mukza, this shput, it's so disgusting, so you're not allowed to go and move it unless it has a kizayis basar still on it. Ravina disagrees. Ravina Amar, aval pishin alav basar, mutul atiltalo, even though it doesn't have any meat on it, you're still allowed to go and move it. Why? Because this is no different. Meat did to have a coat, Rishus Rabbah. This is a dangerous thing in Rishus Rabbah. If you have something that's going to potentially hurt people, you're allowed to go and move it. So you have a coat, you have a thorn in Rishus Rabbah, you're allowed to move it away. You have some broken glass in Rishus Rabbah, so you'd be allowed to go push it away in a way that's not over an issue of carrying, but you could push it a little bit, and this would get it out of the way. So too, this situation of the spit, this is dangerous, and therefore you'll have to go push it away, even though there is no busser on it. Now, we brought down a statement over here in the name of Rav Malkio. So the Gemara tells us now, Amar Rav Chinana Bered Rav Ika, Shpud, Shvachos, and Gumos were statements that Rav Malkio made. Beluris, Ephraimakla, Ugvina are statements that Rav Malkio made. Now, let's explain this. So Rashi tells us these three halachos, and Rashi did Rav Malkio, Shpud, Shvachos, Gumos, Rav Malkio. So these three statements, Elu Shalosh halachos, Rav Malkio Amoran, Velo Rav Malkio. These are two not so well known Amoroyim, and they made a couple of statements over here. Each of them made three statements according to our first version, and therefore we want to make sure that we know who said which one. So therefore, Memesh, Shmoseim, Dom, and Zelazed, their names are very similar, and we want to make sure that we attribute the right opinion to the right Amora. So therefore, v'yesh shemachlifin shmua shalzeh b'shalzeh, and people could easily mistake Rav Malkio for Rav Malkiyah. Therefore, nosnu b'hem simen l'sader shmuas. So therefore, they made these simonim to help you remember the mnemonic over here, that you would remember that Rav Malkio said these three, and Rav Malkio said these three. What are the three? Shvud, the first one that we said Rav Malkio said, hodamar, that we just said, that you're allowed to go. And shomto, u'menicha b'keren zovis, you can do tiltu menatzad on the shpud to bring it to the corner. That was the first statement that Rav Malkio made. The second one we said here is shvachos. What is that? So Rashi brings down mishnah b'ksubas. This is the mishnah b'ksubas. It says, Rav Elezer Omer, afilu hichnitza lo meya shvachos. Even if a woman is very wealthy, she comes into the marriage with 100 shvachos, she comes in with 100 servants, nevertheless, kovalasos bitzemer, she should do some work, shabbatola mevia lidei zima. If she has too much free time, it could lead to all sorts of inappropriate activities. So therefore, that was the opinion of Rav Elezer. Amar Rav Malkio, halacha Rav Elezer. So he says the halacha is in fact like this opinion of Rav Elezer. That's number two. Gumost, the third statement that we made over the name of Rav Malkio. What is that? Rashi says Shmaisahi. This is a Amoraic statement. V'lo Nemra al HaMishnah. It wasn't said on the Mishnah. It was said Linyan Shtei Saros, in regards to the two pubic hairs that define somebody as being a gadol. Dimnimtsu law gumos shomakum seyer. If you were to find not two hairs, but you find two follicles, you find two pits that hairs mistama had grown from. Afal pishain shom seyer, even though there is no hair there right now, but you do have the follicles, you have the pits. Gedola, the woman is considered gedola. Now the girsa that we have is a chaletzes. She'd be allowed to do chalitza. However, the Bach changes it around and says, and the girsa that we have in the Bach says ve'eno mamtenes. But the Menachem Meshev Nefesh says that this should be she'eno mamenes, that she can't do miyun anymore. She's considered too old to be able to just walk away from a rabbinically arranged marriage. The process of miyun doesn't apply to her anymore once she has these two follicles, these two pits. So that's the third din that Rav Malkio said. And this is based upon the Ein Guma El Imken Hoyo Baseyar El Shinoshu. If you have these pits, these follicles, so obviously there was hair there. I wasn't no hair there. Now the hair fell off. Now, the three dinim that we said in the name of Ramalkiya is Bloris, continuing in Rashi. So this is from Maseches Avodah Zarah and a Braisa there. The Ha Rav Malkiya Leferusha LeBraisa. He's explaining the Braisa. The Braisa said, Tanu Rabbanu, Kusi Amistapim Yisro. If a guy, a Kusi, is getting a haircut from a Yid, the Yid is the barber. So when he reaches Kivan Shagia LeBloriso, the Bloriso is like a mohawk. And when he reaches that part of the hair, they used to do this for Avodah Zarah, so the Yid, the barber, is no longer allowed to continue. Shomit es yodo, mipnei shakusi, kishu mistaper, minicho l'shem Avodah Zarah. He leaves that for Avodah Zarah, and you can't assist him in any way. And they asked over there in the Gemara, in the Brisa of Amar Allah, the Kama, how much do you have to distance yourself from the Bluris? So Amar Malkiya, Shalosh Etzbos, L'chol Ruach V'Ruach, L'chol Suivoseh. You're not going to be within three Etzbos of the Bluris. Lo Yiga, because in that situation, Shemiga Leach, V'Elech Ad HaBluris, because if you go and cut up to the Bluris, Nimtza Meniach Lo B'Loriso, you're helping him do this L'shem Avodah Zarah. That's number one that Rav Malkiya said. Second one was Ephraim Makla. This is a Shmaisi, this is a Memra, an Amora Memra, the Maseches Makos, where it says, Amar of Malkiya, lo yitain odom efer makla agabi makosu. You can't put these ashes on your wound because shenira kiksovas kaka, because the ashes, the blackness will get into the wound and it will look like you're making a tattoo over there. It's not a real tattoo, but it looks like a tattoo, and therefore says you can't do it. And the third statement of Rav Malkiya was Gvina. And Rashi says, Apirusha de Masnisa. This is a statement that he made on the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Mipnei ma asru gvinos, the Mishnah saying, the Mishnah there had said that you can't use gvinos akum. So why? So many reasons are given. The Omer of Malkiya, Rav Malkiya's reason was, Neisha machlikin ponea b'shumun chazer, because they would go and wipe on the surface of the cheese the shumun of a chazer, the schmaltz of a chazer, the lard. And therefore, it was not allowed to be used. So these are the three statements that the Gemara tells us were first said, the three, in the name of Rav Malkiya. This is Shpud, Shvachos, and Gumos. And the three statements made in the name of Rav Malkiya is Bluris, Ephraimakla, and Gvina. That's the girsa that we have. Now, Rav Papa Amar, no, you have it wrong. And that's why Rashi pointed out which ones were Mishnah statements or Brisa statements and which ones were Shmaisas, or Amoroic statements. So Rav Papa said the way to remember it is Masnisin u'masnisa Rav Malkiya. We'll see the mnemonic Rav Malkiya. It sounds like the Masnisa. So it has the Aleph at the end. It's a feminine word. And Malkiya is a female, a queen. So therefore, the statements that we just mentioned from the six statements that dealt with either a Mishnah or a Brisa were stated by Rav Malkiya. And the Shmaisa saw the pure Amoroic statements, they were made by Rav Malkiya. And how do you remember this? V'simonech, Masnisin Malkisa, the Mishnah is a feminine word, just like the queen, Malkisa is a feminine word. What's the difference between the original way we had it, that the three and the three, and then Rav Papa's statement that the Brises are Rav Malkiya, and the Amoric statements are Rav Malkiya? My benayu, ike benayu, Shvachos, the statement on Shvachos. Rashi says that this is Masnisni, and therefore, Umashvis le b'Rav Malkiya. And we had it in the name of Rav Malkiya, Lav didehi, it wouldn't be his statement. The whole Masnisni, Masnisra, the Isbuhu, Rav Malkiya Omar Perushan, that Rav Malkiya was the one that said it. However, Abel Shmaisa, the Amis Rav Malkiya, Kigon Shpud Vigumos, didehi ninu. So therefore, it would be the one that we would switch around would be the Shvachos. We originally had Shvachos as being attributed to Rav Malkiya. It really was made by Rav Malkiya because it's going on a Brisa. Okay, that's one way to understand it, and that's the way we'll understand it for now. And we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Lo yomar adam l'tabach, a person is not allowed to tell to the butcher on yontif, shekol li b'dinah basar, give me a dinah's worth of meat. You can't say a amount of meat based upon money. However, but you are allowed to tell him, avol shochet u'mechalek b'neim. Shat for us, we have a group of people, and we'll divide up the meat amongst all of us, and we'll pay you after yontif, and we'll figure out how much each of us owes you after yontif. Horace starts off and says, Hech yovet, how are you exactly supposed to do this? Kiha, and we turn to Chavtesa Mad Aleph, the Besura in Sura, in the city of Sura, Amre Tarta, Upalga Tarta. So they would go, Rashi explains, Darkin Lomar Latabach, they would tell the Tabach, Tainli, go give to me a certain size of piece of meat, Tarta, a certain weight of a piece of meat, Opalik Tarta, or a half of a Tarta. And in the other cities that we're about to mention, Rashi says they had the same custom. They would say, give me this amount or half of this amount. So they had set amounts that were known. So Basura, Amri Tarta, Opalga Tarta, Benarish, that's another city, Amri Chalka, Opalga Chalka, a certain amount that was also known. Rashi says it's all the same amounts, it just had different names. So they would give me either a pound, a Chalka, Opalga Chalka, half a pound. The Pumatisa, they had the word Amri Uzya, Upalga Uzya, that was the word that they would use. And Benhar Pakod, Umasa Machasi, two other cities, Amri Riva, they would say, give us a river, Upalga River. And these were well known amounts. And this way the butcher would give them that amount, and they would be able to pay for it and arrange after Yontif the finalization of the transaction. But this way they would have meat for Yontif. With this, we conclude today's share.